If you take your Bible and turn to the book of John, John chapter number 19. For the sake of time, I'm going to read one verse, and then I'm going to ask you, if you will, to go home this afternoon and read the first 30 verses of John chapter 19. John chapter 19. I appreciate so very much the fact that in our country, we've set aside some days, and there's a day set aside to celebrate labor in our country. Much has been accomplished because someone was willing to roll up their sleeves and work. And that's something to be thankful for. It's something that I think is missing in a lot of places today. But we're going to look at a work that was completed, a work that was finished, that no other work on earth could compare to. And that's what took place on the cross. Jesus, in chapter 19 of John, in verse number 30, the Bible said, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. The Bible said in another place, Jesus said, no man takes my life from me. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. And here, I want to look at a finished work and just magnify three simple truths this morning. I sure would appreciate you praying for us. And I want to magnify the importance of this statement, it is finished. Until I studied this time, I didn't realize that these three words are recorded again in the scripture. Turn with me to the book of James, and then we'll pray. Turn with me to the book of James. The Bible said in the book of James, I didn't mark this, so I hope I can find it real quickly. I didn't know the Lord would have me to bring this out in the message, but it's something that stuck out in my heart. The Bible said in verse 13 of James 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin when, look at it right here, it is finished. It's amazing to me how that what's going on here in the book of James ties in with what went on at Calvary. You see, there could be no end to the suffering for sin except Christ finished the work on Calvary. You see, when a person is identified with Christ, the Bible said, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Christ died for our sin, according to the scripture. And every man that dies, and every man will die, the only way we would escape that would be the rapture or the catching away of the church, where we would be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Every man will either be identified with John chapter 19 and the Savior that said, it is finished, or you'll come to an end of a life when sin is finished. It will bring forth death, eternal death, eternal damnation. What a shame for someone to leave this world when the sin debt has already been paid. Jesus paid a debt I did not owe because I had a debt I could not pay. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the precious Bible that we have in front of us, this precious verse in this precious chapter, in this precious setting of Calvary. God, it's my heart this morning to magnify truth that would help us to appreciate more this work that was finished on Calvary. Lord, we pray today that you'd speak to our hearts. Help us to leave here today, Lord, encouraged. Help, Lord, someone that's lost to leave here today saved. Lord, I'm glad you took me out of nothing. You gave me everything. Thank you, Lord, for salvation and for the privilege to be born again. I ask you now, Lord, to help us today. Clothe us in our calling. Fill us with thy precious spirit. Not that we're worthy, but we're needy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me magnify three truths this morning in your hearing concerning this statement, it is finished. The first truth I want to magnify is the sovereign, or the God of heaven, the sovereign's plan was finished. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden and plunged the whole human race into sin, God didn't say, whoops. God didn't say, what do we do now? God already had a plan. And the Word of God tells us in the book of Revelation, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Talking about those that would worship the false prophet and the beast and the Antichrist in the time of the revelation, because their name was not written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. You see, God knew the Lamb would be slain even before mankind came on the scene. In the plan of God and in the foreknowledge of God, his plan was finished. The Bible said in Isaiah 53 and verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. A lot of people don't want to think about it like that, but the God of heaven bruised his son on the cross of Calvary that you and I could be free in this generation and every generation prior to us. The Bible tells us here his plan, the sovereign's plan, was finished. Let me say this, a couple of things quickly. It was the only plan that would satisfy the Father. The Bible said in Isaiah 53, he shall see of the travail of his soul. He being God, God the Father, shall see of the travail of his soul, his son, and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. The only thing that would satisfy the God of heaven was Calvary. The only thing that would satisfy the God of heaven when it comes to sin would be the death of his son upon the old rugged cross. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. It was the only plan that would satisfy the Father. It's the only plan that would save the fallen. He said, preacher, what do you mean? Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. In verse number 41, he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. We preached in that chapter last week. In chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. In chapter 9 and verse 5, he said, I am the light of the world. In chapter 10 and verse 7, he said, I am the door of the sheep. In chapter 10 and verse 36, he said, I am the Son of God. In chapter 11 and verse number 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In chapter 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In chapter 15 and verse number 1, he said, I am the true vine. I'm telling you, God came down and gave his life, the great I am.
And he is the only way that people can be saved. It's the only plan that would satisfy the Father. The only plan that would save the fallen. Jesus, in the book of Acts, tells us this. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen to me. You can believe the lie of the devil if you want to. He's trying to tell a lost and dying world that all steeples point up, all religions point to God. But honey, there's only one way to God, and that's through His Son. That's through the cross. That's through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way. You say, preacher, that's narrow-minded. This is a pretty narrow book. Either you believe it or you don't. Where do you even get the concept of heaven without a Bible? Where do you get the concept of hell without a Bible? Where do you get the concept of sin without a Bible? We'd be just like they were in the book of Judges without a Bible. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Our country swiftly becoming that way. Amen. But thank God we still have a Bible. It tells us the sovereign's plan was finished. The only plan that would save the fallen. The only plan that would satisfy the Father. Then let me give you this. It's the only plan that would secure the future. What do you mean, preacher? Hebrews 9:12. Listen to this. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place. Having obtained, listen to these words, eternal redemption for us. You say, preacher, how can you say you know when you die you'll go to heaven? Apart from Calvary, I can't say that. But I tell you, at the cross where I first saw the light, what was purchased there was not a temporary relief, but it was an eternal redemption for mankind that would put their trust in the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, as it appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him. How many's looking for Him? Amen. The Bible said He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Think about that. He's coming again. And I believe with all of my heart, the only plan that will secure the future for any of us is God's plan. My friend, God's work that was finished on the cross of Calvary. I'm excited about this next point. Not only was the sovereign's plan finished, but the Savior's pain was finished. When Jesus cried, it is finished. You understand that according to the Bible, He was scourged, He was beaten, He was spit upon, He was mocked. He was nailed to a cross. He was stripped naked. His beard was plucked from His face. Greater than all of that, the Word of God said, He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And oh, when He cried, it is finished. And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. The pain was over. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The pain was finished. Be a good time to stop and say, the worst that a believer will ever experience, they'll experience in this life. Because, honey, the best is yet to come for the children of God. The day's coming when the pain will be over for God's children. But the very best that the unbeliever will ever experience, they experience it in this life. I tell you what, I love life. I love my family. I love the church. I love the Lord. But I'm glad, thank God, it's fixing to get a lot better than this, even for the children of God. We're going to a place where there are no cemeteries, no graveyards, no doctors, nothing clogged up, Brother Gale. We'll never have to visit the doctor, never have to get another phone call, never have to suffer again. That's where we're going, because this one was willing to suffer at Calvary. and cry, "It is finished." The Savior's pain. The Bible said he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Let me tell you what hurts worse than nails. I actually jumped off of a chicken coop when I was a little boy into a pile of lumber, not knowing that there was a nail sticking up in that lumber. And that nail went through my tennis shoe and came up through my foot. And I had to go get a tetanus shot, and I believe it hurt worse than the nail did. Amen. But anyway, I let me tell you what hurts worse. I can tell you this from experience than the nails. Let me tell you what hurts worse than the crown of thorns. Let me tell you what hurts worse than having your back beaten to a pulp, all your bones staring at the crowd. What hurts worse than being stripped off naked and hung in public? I'll tell you what hurts worse than anything, and that's rejection. The Bible said he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But when he cried, "It is finished," the pain was over. The pain, the Savior's pain, was finished. The Bible said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." Oh, hallelujah. Brother Joe could walk by the front bench this morning and look at Pastor and say, "He took me out of nothing." I'll tell you why he could say that. Because thank God, there was a Savior that was willing to give it all. By the way, let me just stop and say this. It's in my heart. I'm not fussing. But salvation and dedication are two different things. Let me just say this. And I'm not going to fuss about it. And I know what people mean. But honey, when we get saved, we don't give Jesus anything. He found us in a mess. We came to him, amen, and he gave us everything. Now, when you get saved, you ought to give God your life. You ought to dedicate your life to the Lord, amen. That's what you ought to do when you get saved by the grace of God. But don't get that confused. Don't think if you're here this morning that and you're not saved that you have to give God something. Honey, I tell you what, you don't have anything to give. You're dead in your trespasses and your sin. He's the one that wants to give to you everything this morning. The Savior's pain. The Bible said in Isaiah 52, his visage was so marred, more than any man and more than the sons of men. Let me give you a text. This morning I asked my wife to look this up for me on the way to church. And Acts chapter number 2. Look at this quickly. In verse number 22, the Bible said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Boy, Peter, he's got a boldness about him now, don't he? Amen. The Holy Ghost of God has come. And thank God he's preaching it right. The Bible said in verse 24, "Whom God hath raised up," watch this now, "having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it." I just want to say this. Thank God the pain was over when Christ cried, "It is finished." It was loosed. Either you're saved and one day the pains of death will be loosed in your life, or you're unsaved and the pains of death will linger in your life. You see, you and I, whether we're saved or not, will live somewhere forever. You say, "Preacher, how long will it linger?" Forever and forever and forever. The Savior's pain was finished when Jesus cried, "It is finished." This brings me to the last thing in the message. The sinner's payment was finished. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The payment for our sin was finished at Calvary. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:13, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, never the first testament was dedicated without blood. Neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people, according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you.' Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission." You say, "Preacher, why does it bother you what they're doing to the songbooks, what they're doing to the Bibles?" Because they're taking the blood out. Amen. They don't want to hear about that bloody religion. Honey, I'm telling you something. I'm not very interested in the bloody religion anyway. I'm talking about a bloody redemption. I'm talking about a bloody birth, being born again, not of an incorruptible seed, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed by the word of God. "It was necessary, therefore, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he must often have suffered since the foundation of the world." But listen to this statement. "But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." No wonder my friend John got so excited on the banks of the Jordan when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Honey, he's not coming to put it off for a year. He's coming to put away the sin of the world. That's what Jesus did. The sinner's payment was finished. I have something I want to share with you this morning that I believe will be a blessing to you. The Bible said in John 8:21, "Then said Jesus unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." John 8:24, he said, "Therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." You see, everybody's going to die. Some are going to die in the Savior. Some are going to die in their sin. By the way, that's expressed right beside of the cross. One thief, he died in Christ. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You see, not only, Brother Rose, was the Savior's pain about to end, but there was a rotten thief that put his faith in the Lord God of heaven, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his pain was about to end too. But here's a man on the other side that did not believe, did not call on the Lord, and his pain was about to begin. He thought he was suffering hanging there. But honey, he was about to begin a suffering like mankind has never heard of outside of the pages of the Word of God. Beloved, listen. Jesus said, He don't want us to die in our sin. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to be saved. Everybody's heard of a man by the name of John Newton, I would suspect. He's the man that wrote the words to the hymn. By the way, Brother Ralph, I would like to sing that hymn at the end of the service. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I learned a little bit. Here's a poem that John wrote. Listen, he said, "In evil long I took delight, unawed by shame and fear, till a new object struck my sight and stopped my wild career. I saw one hanging on a tree in agonies and blood, who fixed his languid eyes on me as near his cross I stood. Sure, never till my latest breath can I forget that look. It seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt and owned the guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilled and helped to nail him there. Alas, I knew not what I did, but now my tears are vain. Where shall my trembling soul be hid? For I the Lord have slain. A second look he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. This blood is for thy ransom paid. I die that thou mayest live. Thus while his death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of grace. It seals my pardon too. With pleasing grief and mournful joy, my spirit now have filled, that I should such a life destroyed, yet live by him I've killed. I'll tell you, that spoke to my heart. John Newton, the man that I found this out, his mama died when he was 7 years old. At 11 years old, his daddy took him on the ship with him to transport the slaves, and the slaves were being traded for sugar and for rum and for liquor and all kinds of things going on in the slave trading business. And John Newton, at 82 years old, listen, he became a drunkard in his life. But thank God, God can even save a drunkard and make something out of him for his glory. At 82 years old, John Newton said, my memory is nearly gone. Think about this, how it spoke to my heart. He said, my memory is nearly gone. But he said, I remember two things. I am a great sinner, and Christ is a great Savior. I say, hallelujah. Don't ever forget, we are great sinners, but he is a great Savior. Bless his name. Newton's tombstone, it reads, John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. Let me ask you something today. What's your life saying about this faith that Jude told us to earnestly contend for? I don't want it watered down, do you? I want it just like God gives it to us in the Bible. He didn't say it's optional to be born again. He said, you must be born again. If you want to make heaven your home, honey, there's no other way. You must come to Jesus. You must receive his forgiveness. You must be plunged under that fountain. Thank God there's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. The night the Lord saved me, I tried to describe it. Words really can't be found. But I could say it like this. I did go down guilty, but I did come up pardoned. I went down, I could use the word dirty, but I believe a more accurate word would be filthy. Filthy. Then I came up pure and white as the driven snow. I went down on my way to hell. I came up on my way to heaven. I went down a child of the devil and came up a child of the King. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I tell you, I thank God there's a place where we can trade our sin for His righteousness. It's a place called Calvary. It's a place where the last thing that Jesus said was, "It is finished." Thank God the sovereign's plan was finished. Thank God the sinner's payment was finished. Thank God our Savior's pain was finished. He suffered temporarily so that you and I could live eternally. So that we could escape. This is temporary. This little tent we live in here, honey, we're not going to be in this tent long. We're going to pull up stakes. And we're going to do like Abraham. We're going to look for a city. But one day we're going to move into that city whose builder and maker is God. I don't know about you this morning. It's a joy, Brother Steve, to start a project and finish it. I personally like to finish what I started. I do. I like to. I'm going back in my mind. If you don't talk to my wife about these things around the house, okay? But I do like to. And I believe when Jesus was born, 12 years old, Brother Gale, he's sitting in the temple, and boy, their jaws are dropping down. How in the world is he talking like this? Well, he ain't never learned any letters. Honey, he was the alphabet. He was the Alpha and Omega, amen. The whole time, he knew he was headed for three words. He was going to be born. He was going to live. And he was going to die so that he could say, "It is finished." The Bible said, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God the Father." What a blessing it must have been for the Son of God. He said in one place, "For this cause came I into the world. I finished the work," he told his Father, "that thou gavest me to do. It is finished." You know what you and I should concentrate on in our life? Finishing whatever it is that God has given us to do. Let's finish well for the glory of God. Brother Ralph, come. We won't even use music this morning. Come. We're going to sing a song, "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If you can sing the words to this song, you can identify a time in your life when you were blind, when you were lost. When the Lord found you, I want you to rejoice. Just as sure, listen to me carefully. Just as sure as He finished the work in redemption, He's going to finish the work He started in me. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He'll perform it until that day. On that day, He'll perfect it. And you and I will be like Jesus. What a blessing. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You this morning for the book of John. Thank You for the story of Calvary, the cross, Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that you finished the work that you were given to do. Father, today, some lives may be here so precious to you that aren't ready to meet you. Someone may be thinking today, I'm a terrible sinner. I know, Lord, that that's what John Newton said. It's so true. I can always remember I'm a great sinner and he's a great Savior. I pray, Lord, today that someone would trust the Savior. Someone, Lord, today would open their heart to the one that loved them, gave himself for them, would know today what it is to be taken out of nothing and to be given everything. I pray, God, that as we sing this song, your people would worship. God, that we would remember that time, Lord, when you saved us by your grace, set us, Lord, in the right path. I pray, God, today our hearts would swell with praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life so that I could live forever.